Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to our worship service. Great to see you here. Let's begin by turning to hymn number 303 for our call to worship, Worthy is the Lamb, 303, in the passing of his brother. Thank you that he was able to be there and to minister to him and to assure him of where he was going. And Father, we pray that in the service that is held, that you will be giving guidance and wisdom in all the planning and the timing, and we pray that that service will bring honor and glory to your name, will point people to Jesus as the only way of salvation, that they can be ready to meet you when their time comes. And we pray that your Jesus' name will be lifted high at that service and also at the fellowship time here afterwards. Strengthen our brother, encourage him, we pray, even during this hour as we worship and fellowship together. And we give you thanks and praise in Jesus' name. Amen.
That's Matthew chapter 13, the last part, and then we'll read a portion of chapter 14. Verse 53, excuse me. And it came to pass that when Jesus had finished these parables, he departed thence. And when he was come into his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, insomuch that they were astonished, and said, Whence hath this man this wisdom, and these mighty works? Is not this the carpenter's son? Is not his mother called Mary, and his brethren, James and Joseph and Simon and Judas? And his sisters, are they not all with us? Whence then hath this man all these things? And they were offended in him. But Jesus said unto them, A prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. And he did not many mighty works there, because of their unbelief. At that time Herod the Tetrarch heard of the fame of Jesus, and he said unto his servants, This is John the Baptist. He is risen from the dead, and therefore mighty works do show forth themselves in him. For Herod had laid hold on John, and bound him, and put him in prison for Herodias' sake, his brother Philip's wife. For John said unto him, It is not lawful for thee to have her. And when he would have put him to death, he feared the multitude, because they counted him as a prophet. But when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias danced before him, and pleased Herod. Whereupon he promised with an oath to give her whatsoever she would ask. And she, being before instructed of her mother, said, Give me here John Baptist's head in a charger. And the king was sorry. Nevertheless, for the oath's sake, and them which sat with him at meat, he commanded it to be given her. And he sent and beheaded John in the prison. And his head was brought in a charger and given to the damsel, and she brought it to her mother. And the disciples came and took up the body and buried it, and went and told Jesus. When Jesus heard of it, he departed thence by ship into a desert place apart. And when the people had heard thereof, they followed him on foot out of the cities. And Jesus went forth and saw a great multitude, and was moved with compassion toward them, and he healed their sick. Let's have a word of prayer together. Most gracious Heavenly Father, how we thank you for your great love to us, for all that we have in our Lord Jesus Christ. And we see here in this story this morning the compassion and love that Jesus had for his servant and also for all these people that were in need. And we thank you so much, Lord, that you do care for us. You're with us to help us in every situation. We pray that you'll help us, Lord, to do your will and to be faithful to you. We pray this morning especially for our brother Denny. We ask you to bless him and undertake for him during this time. And we pray that you'll be with his brother, Ron, as he is incapacitated right now. Pray that he will soon be able to get up and move, and that we can go forward with this funeral for Larry. We pray, Lord, that you'll just bless and help this family in their time of need and give them the strength to keep going. We thank you, Lord, for those who are faithful to you today. And we pray your blessings upon each one who is here, those who are listening on the internet. And we pray that your will would be done in each and every life. Lord, we just ask you to give us the strength and courage that we need to keep going and to honor and magnify your holy name. We do pray for the March family as they're traveling about. Pray that you'll watch over them and keep them in your care and meet their needs in these days. Bless them during this time that they're here in the United States. And Lord, we just pray for all of our missionaries. I think of the man that contacted us from Myanmar and wanted to greet us and let us know that he's there going to this seminary. And we pray your blessings upon him. We just pray, Lord, that you would help us to be a blessing to him and encouragement to him, and pray that you'd work in his life. And Lord, we thank you so much for all of your goodness to us. Pray that you'll lead us today by your Spirit and that your name would be exalted. We pray in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's look in Matthew 13 here. This portion that we read a little earlier. How's everyone doing today? Doing good? I've got a cold. Did you notice? I think probably you did. Several people have spoken to me about it already. So anyhow, we'll do our best. How's that? And you listen real close, okay? Here we see Jesus has finished with the parables. This series of parables, he had seven parables he spoke about here in Matthew chapter 13. And about the kingdom of God, what it means, and all of this. I hope we got the idea. I know sometimes it's not always that clear, right, when we think about what Jesus is teaching, but we try to understand as best we can. And now he's moving into this last period of his life, called the time when he's drawing closer to the cross. And this last period, there are quite a few teachings here in the rest of the gospel, but we'll have to skip some of that, I think, in order to get to the Easter season. But at any rate, we have here the Lord Jesus going on with his ministry. And then we see one of his choice servants that we basically want to look at today about the death of John the Baptist, this man that was such a faithful servant of the Lord Jesus Christ. Notice what Jesus said when he first finished the parables, he went back to Nazareth. He was going there to meet his family again, and the ones that are there, it mentions his family here, who he is, his mother, his father, and his brothers and sisters. He had a large family, right? And here we find that these people were offended with what Jesus was saying because they knew him so well. And they thought, well, who is this man, you know, that he's bringing these things to us, these messages that he is bringing. And they were offended in him. But Jesus said, here's what he said, verse 57, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own country and in his own house. You've heard the old expression, haven't you, that, let me see if I can get it. I was about ready to say that, and that slipped my mind. Anyway, a prophet is not without honor, save in his own house. What's the word? Familiarity. There it is. I got it. Familiarity breeds contempt, right? If you know somebody real well, you think, oh, well, what does he know, you know? And that's the way they thought about Jesus. And so he was not able to do many mighty works because of their unbelief. Isn't that interesting? Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Holy One, is unable to work because of the unbelief of the people. And so anyway, we know that they limited themselves because of their unbelief. And then we come to John the Baptist. John the Baptist was a man chosen by God as a special messenger to go before the Lord Jesus to prepare the people for his coming. His birth was miraculous because he was born to an old couple and who were unable to have children. For years and years, no doubt, they had prayed, sought to have children, and then they didn't. And then you remember that wonderful story there in Luke with Gabriel meeting with Zacharias and telling him he's going to have a son. And of course, Zacharias didn't quite believe that, and consequently, he was struck mute, wasn't he, for a while. And then John was born, and he was a chosen vessel. It says in the first chapter of John, there was a man sent from God whose name was John. Yeah? He was a special person. And it mystifies me to wonder how this can be. But it does say that he was filled with the Holy Spirit from his mother's womb. Now, does anybody have anything to say about that? At any rate, that's what it says. And so we know that from all of his life, God chose him to be a special servant. And he was filled with the Holy Spirit. He lived in the desert, as we know, and ate, what was it? Locust and wild honey, right? Do you like that? What do you think about that, huh? How about chocolate covered? Maybe, huh? That wouldn't be too bad. But I have an idea. He just had the regular locust. Anyhow, and it said that he was like, he came in the spirit and power of Elijah. You remember that Old Testament prophet that did so many wonderful things that God had called him to do, and the miracles that he worked. He was able to come in that way and was willing to limit himself to serving God. His whole life was devoted to the Lord. He was filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and willing to boldly proclaim God's word. And he exhorted the people to repent, right? That's the word. Repent of their sins, and the kingdom of God is coming. And so he exhorted the people to make that change. Change their minds and their hearts and receive Christ as their King and as their Lord. He did not compromise his message for anyone, not even for the king. Speaks here about Herod the Tetrarch. Now, the Tetrarch was a person that was over one-fourth of the kingdom, right? He wasn't a king as such. He was a Tetrarch. There were three other men that also had that part of the kingdom. But at any rate, we find this man, Herod was a sinful person, and one whom John boldly proclaimed to be doing wrong. And here, you know, we see that, he had taken his brother Philip's wife and made her his own. But did you notice, according to the scripture, whose wife was she? Philip's, right? God says that she was Philip's wife, not Herod's wife. He was living in adultery with her because he took her away from her husband. And so that's something that God forbids. We're not to disobey him by committing adultery or by these other sins. And Herod was responsible. Being the leader of the people, he was condemned by the prophet for his sin. Now, John didn't have to do that, did he? You know, he was out there baptizing all these people and everything and reaching so many other people. But when he saw Herod committing this open sin, he had to condemn him for it. And that's what he did. He was not afraid to do that. And so here now we find Herod hears about Jesus. And he says, oh my goodness, who is this man? Huh? You know, I believe it's John the Baptist risen from the dead. Now that's interesting. I was reading about that too this week. You know, Herod was like a Sadducee who supposedly didn't believe in life after death and all of this. And yet here we find him thinking that John the Baptist now has come back to life in the person of Jesus. And he's thinking that. No doubt his conscience is bothering him because of what has happened. It must have been some time before this that he actually went through what we find here in this passage. On his birthday, verse 6, when Herod's birthday was kept, the daughter of Herodias, now that's Salome, I believe her name was, danced before him. You know, have you ever seen some of these, maybe a movie or something, where they have the women dancing their veils and all this kind of thing, that kind of Eastern sensual, sexual type of dancing? That's what it must have been. And Herod, of course, was well pleased. Yeah, here he's seeing this woman and all going through all this, and he promised her, he said, he promised her with an oath to give her whatever she would ask. That's quite a statement, isn't it? She could have asked for most anything, right? She could have taken great possessions or something, but instead, what did she do? She asked for the head of John the Baptist on a charger. Good night, what in the world's going on here? This is like, you know, one of these ghastly horror movies or something that they have, right? Can you imagine cutting off the man's head and putting it on a platter and taking it in? Goodness. Anyway, it was his mother, Herodias, who had these revengeful thoughts for John, just waiting for the time. She had already figured it out, no doubt. It was Herod's birthday. She knew this would happen. So she told her daughter, that's what I want you to do. Ask for the head of John the Baptist. And she did. And they brought it in. And it says the king was sorry. Now that sounds kind of strange, because before it said that he would have killed John if it hadn't been for what the people thought. But now he says he's sorry. I guess maybe he had got to know John somewhat and didn't really want to have to kill him. But he went ahead and did it because of his oath. They were having this big party, right? His birthday party. And all of his leaders and other people were there. And he didn't want to deny what he had promised. And so he went ahead and did that. And we find here that he kills John the Baptist. And it says his disciples of John, came and buried his body. I was just wondering, not to be too bad, but what happened to his head? What do you think? More than likely, it's over there somewhere in France or someplace where, you know, they have the relics and things. Well, they're always having something like that coming up. But anyway, that's not funny. Anyhow, we find here Jesus speaks of John the Baptist and what who he was. Let's look at Matthew chapter 11. Matthew 11 and verse 7. Matthew 11. That's it. Okay. And verse 7. And as they departed, Jesus began to say to the multitudes concerning John, "What went ye out into a wilderness to see? A reed shaken with the wind? But what went ye out to see? A man clothed in soft raiment? Behold, they that wear soft clothing are in kings' houses. But what went ye out for to see? A prophet? Yes, I say unto you, and more than a prophet. For this is he of whom it is written, Behold, I send my messenger before thy face, which shall prepare thy way before thee. Verily I say unto you, among them that are born of women, there hath not risen a greater than John the Baptist. Notwithstanding, he that is least in the kingdom of heaven is greater than he. And from the days of John the Baptist until now, the kingdom of heaven suffereth violence, and the violent take it by force. For all the prophets and the law prophesied until John. And if you will receive it, this is Elias, which was for to come. He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." Okay, so Jesus here is talking about John and how important he was. And he says there was no one greater than John the Baptist. Isn't that something? Up until that time. And yet he says those who are part of the kingdom are greater than he. How about that? Huh? It makes you stop and think a little bit. And he says, John the Baptist would be Elijah if you would accept him. Now, you know, that's something interesting to me, anyway, that this man, John the Baptist, could be also Elijah. He said that in another place to the disciples. So that leads me to believe that people come similar to someone else, and it could be another person. But what I'm thinking about is the two witnesses over in the book of Revelation. Some people say they're Moses and Elijah or something like that. But couldn't it also be someone else that comes in the spirit of these two men? Anyway, that's a little bit, you know, you can think about that. But anyhow, we find here the estimation that Jesus had of John the Baptist. My, what a commendation that was, to think Jesus placed him on such a high pedestal, right? Because he was faithful, because he was true. So what are the characteristics we find here of this faithful disciple? We find, first of all, he's willing to deny himself. Let's look back at Matthew chapter 3. Matthew chapter 3. I have a few verses here. And verse 4. we go. If I can get these pages. And the same John had his raiment of camel's hair and a leather girdle about his loins, and his meat was locust and wild honey. And they all went out to Jerusalem, all Judea and all the region round about Jordan, and were baptized of him in Jordan, confessing their sins. So here we have John, willing to deny himself and not have the privilege of living a comfortable life, as we think of it, but he was willing to go out and live in the desert and eat this simple food and serve God by baptizing as God had called him to do. We see also how he was a courageous man. We've already seen that. But in verse 7, he says to the Pharisees and Sadducees, when he saw many of the Pharisees and Sadducees come to his baptism, he said to them, O generation of vipers, who has warned you to flee from the wrath to come? How about that? These are the leaders of Israel, right? The Pharisees and the Sadducees, those who claim to be the spiritual leaders. John says, you are a bunch of snakes. That's what he says, right? Generation of vipers. Are you really going to repent? It says in verse 8, bring forth therefore fruits meet for repentance. Show me, you know. If you are really believing this, if you've really trusted in Christ, if you really are wanting to be baptized, then show me. And prove it by your works. And that's what it's about, right? We're saved by grace through faith in Christ Jesus. And then we show forth what we believe by the way we live, by the way we work. Right? It all follows right straight through. We were talking about that in Sunday school again this morning, and how people that are living in open sin can't possibly please God, right? There's no way. And so we have to, he says, bring forth fruits meet for repentance. And don't think that within yourselves we have Abraham to our father. For I say unto you, God's able to raise up of these stones children to Abraham. And now also the axe is laid unto the root of the trees. Therefore every tree which bringeth not forth good fruit is hewn down and cast into the fire. I indeed baptize you with water unto repentance, but he that cometh after me is mightier than I, whose shoes I am not worthy to bear. He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire, whose fan is in his hand, and he will thoroughly purge his floor and gather his wheat into the garner, but he will burn up the chaff with unquenchable fire. So here he is preaching about Jesus coming and what he's going to do when he does come. So he shows here his courage in facing these leaders. He wasn't afraid of men, no matter who they might be. And he did that with Herod as well. He was not intimidated. He says in another place, fear not them which kill the body, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. The fear of man brings a snare, but whoso trusteth in the Lord shall be safe. And this is what John was doing, and how we should live as well, placing ourselves in the hands of the Lord. He was obedient, as we see here in 15. It says, Jesus answering said unto him, suffer it to be so now, for thus it becometh us to fulfill all righteousness. So he's talking about to John about being baptized. And John says, oh no, no. I deserve to be baptized of you, not you of me. And Jesus said, you go ahead and do it anyway. Right? Even though he might not have understood it all, he was obedient. He did not understand why he should baptize Jesus, but he did obey. And that's the way I think we can take a lesson from that. Be obedient to the Lord, no matter what, right? Follow him. And then we see his humility. He said of Jesus, he must increase, but I must decrease. John was not a flashy personality. It says he did no miracle. You know, Jesus went about raising the dead and opening the eyes of the blind and the ears of the deaf, all kinds of miracles, right? John never did any of that. And yet, he was willing to serve the Lord in the way that he wanted him to do. So his ministry, the ministry of this faithful disciple, as we said, he preached repentance, baptized those who responded. He pointed others to Jesus, as we just saw a moment ago. He made no special claims for himself. He said, I am the voice of one crying in the wilderness. Make straight the paths of the Lord. He said he was not the Messiah, but that he was sent before him to proclaim him, right? To be a witness for him. His ministry, apparently, from what we've been able to find out, lasted less than a year. Did you know that? John the Baptist, as much as the scripture says about him and all that he went through, his ministry lasted less than a year. Wow. You know, and it was very brief and yet very meaningful and important as he was introducing the people to the coming Savior, the King that was coming. Then we find here about his death. We read here in chapter 14. He was arrested and imprisoned for preaching the truth. And he pointed out the sin of King Herod, as we said. He didn't have to do that, did he? He could have just as easily stayed out in the desert someplace and let Herod do his own thing, right? But no. He stood up for what was right and pointed out the sin. He was a victim of cruel and wicked people. I can't even imagine these people. This Herodias, you know. What in the world? How could you possibly cut off somebody's head and then, you know, I don't know. I find that hard to believe. I mean, not hard to believe, but you know what I mean. Yeah, hard to imagine someone that way. And this daughter, the sensual dance and all that, that she did, and all that happened there because of their pride and arrogance and not wanting to. The king didn't want to embarrass himself by not doing what he was called upon to do. So poor John the Baptist, huh? His disciples came and buried him. And then what does it say? They went and told Jesus. And when Jesus heard it, he departed to a desert place. So can you imagine that must have struck him? Jesus was a human being, right? And when he heard about John the Baptist, his faithful disciple, being killed this way, it must have shocked him. Well, maybe not shocked him, but it made him sad, okay? And so we see here, it says in another place, be thou faithful unto death, and I will give thee a crown of life. So he spoke of him in such high terms, and he will receive a great reward, no doubt. So the Lord does not judge us by the length of our service or the amount that we do. He's more concerned that we be faithful to Christ and to his word, and that we faithfully perform the task he has given us to do. So may we determine in our hearts to serve him like John the Baptist did. I know that I believe he was an unusual character. Perhaps we don't do the same things he did, but we should have the same attitude, right? He must increase, but I must decrease. We have to stand up and serve the Lord faithfully because of his goodness to us. And now we're going to come to the Lord's table. And I was going to see number 638.